Hi, Cardinal fans. I'm Ozzie Smith.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go.
And you're listening to the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Well, how about it? Season number two of the Cardinals Insider Podcast coming to you from broadcast level inside of Busch Stadium. This week, Major League Baseball back with games that count for the regular season. And we are back with a whole new slate of shows. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad that you are with us. Hope that you are glad to be joining. We've got about 30 or so episodes between now and the time that the Cardinals are eliminated. And hopefully that is after a long, deep playoff run. Ahead today, I'm going to step aside and let Ozzie Smith basically take over the show. He has a sit-down with three very significant Cardinals. We'll let you know who those guys are in just a couple of minutes. And later on this season, we've got current Cardinal players. We've got broadcasters like Dan McLaughlin. I sat down for, 45 minutes or so down in Jupiter, Florida, and just talked about his path to the Cardinal booth, what he likes about doing Cardinal games, just kind of an inside look at Dan, who's a great guy and we are really lucky to have here in St. Louis. We're also going to have some great historical content as well. We talk with Ed Wheatley later on this season from the St. Louis Browns Historical Society, and we talk with J.W. Porter, a guy who played with the Browns and the Cardinals and actually was one of the first men ever to catch Bob Gibson as a major leaguer. That and much, much more. And I'm taking your request too at podcast@cardinals.com. We're going to start off, though, with Ozzie Smith sitting down with a man who Cardinal fans are familiar with, but had been without in some senses the last couple of years, Jose Oquendo. I spent the first 2 weeks of camp down in Jupiter, and everybody's talking about how much the players appreciate Jose and how much he maybe changes the dynamic. Not that the dynamic was bad before, but just that Jose brings something that's really unique and special. And I got to tell you, forget the platitudes. I mean, it really is true. The way that he positions guys, when you just watched at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium, you watched him work, you watched the way that he moves guys around, you watched the way that guys respond to him on the backfields, and you talk to the players about it, it's pretty clear to me that Jose Oquendo is adding a lot to this club this year. He came on through, sat down with Ozzie at a red picnic table just outside the Cardinal Clubhouse. There's a big patio where the media usually congregates, and the backfields are off in the distance, bright sunshine. You can hear the pop of the bats in the batting cage off kind of back into the right of the interview. It's picturesque baseball stuff at its very best. The first of three, we're also going to have Chris Carpenter and Mike Matheny talking with Ozzie in just a minute. But for right now, it's Jose Oquendo, the secret weapon and the Wizard of Oz, leading off things for us on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Spring training. Spring training's always been special for me. It was that time of year where baseball was just around the corner. Today I have a chance to spend some time and give you the opportunity to meet close up a guy who I spent 11 wonderful years with playing on the other side of me there, and boy did we have a good time. And we reminisce now about those good times. What we call the secret weapon. The secret weapon is back. All of you out there, here's Jose Oquendo up close and personal.
Don't forget.
How you doing?
Good. Don't forget that was your caddy.
That's right. Well, now I'm your caddy.
There you go.
So it's reversed. But yeah. You took 2 years off. What did you do in those 2 years?
Well, besides getting my knees redone, at least one. I get the other one sometime later on. But I spent a lot of time with the Cardinals minor league system. And
So you became the George Kissel of the organization for a while.
I don't know about that because I think Mark DeJong does a good job being George Kissel. And I just trying to give the young kids experience that people pass along to me. Uh-huh. And things that I learned from previous coaches that I had, like Dave Rickers and George Kissel and, you know, and yourself, because even that you didn't coach me, but I watched you pretty close and I know how you do things, and that those are good things for the kids to learn.
Does it give you joy being able to work with the young kids out here?
It gives you a lot of energy. those kids keep me young, keep me going, and I love that part, teaching those young kids, and sometimes they give you a little headache because they're still young.
Right.
They want to do things that they don't supposed to do.
They
get it done.
Yeah, but now when you were playing, was this part of your playing after you got done? Did you know that that's what you wanted to do?
I think all along since I've signed professional, people spend time passing information and guidance on how to do things, and I started doing that late in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Even that I was playing, I helped guys like, you know, Geronimo Peña and put attention in the game, and yes, I want to pass along all the way. Some late in my career, I want to be a coach.
Yeah, now I know that you had a chance to manage a little bit too, and did you enjoy that?
Yeah, that's a nice experience. It's a little different, but it's I like that challenge. I like the competition, that what the other team might do, and you get prepared. And we had a good team from Team Puerto Rico in the World Classic, so mm-hmm. those are easy to manage because they know what to do.
Yeah, you know. You have two girls.
Three.
Three
and a boy.
Three and a boy. What are they doing?
They're working. Two of them, the twin girls, they're working in San Luis, and my boy working in San Luis in the area. And my oldest daughter, she's here with me in Florida. And they're doing pretty good.
Yeah. So you moved down here. You live here now permanently.
Yeah, I've been here for like at least 4 years.
Okay.
And it'd be nice. I mean, it makes the spring training kind of longer. You don't have to come from the cold weather to here. You stay here, and it was a good benefit being here and working with the young guys here in the complex.
So the young guys come in. They come in early to start working with you. When do you start working out with those guys?
I think this year was we work almost near all year round because the Cardinals have some programs. They bring kids to do physical work, and then at the same time we might do some stuff in the field, and then we had instructional camp instead of instructional league.
Okay.
Now we call it instructional camp, and where they came in, and that was a good time. That was starting in January.
Okay, so start in January. So it's a long process.
Yeah, I think the more we go in baseball, I think. The complex is going to be probably more open more year-round because the teams are they're doing physical work, teaching young guys how to work in the weight room, teaching them how to get rest, how to eat properly, and then also get the baseball part.
Yep. Now, what do you see as the real challenge with the game today, or is it a challenge today with the younger players as you've gone from generation to generation? Do you find that it's a real challenge to teach them, or are they as eager to learn? Or,
well, I think they're eager to learn. The challenge is keeping those kids from the distractions. You know, could be the media, could be social media, could be the phone.
Yeah, it's a little different today than it was when we played.
Yeah, when we played, we didn't handle all that stuff and keep up with the social media. Now, this kid had so much distraction that keeping them and teaching them how to manage all that part is a good challenge.
Yeah. So basically, and you and I have had a lot of conversations, and it's always great being able to spend time around you. But has the game changed from a fundamental standpoint?
To me, I think it's still a lot of good old coaching type people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Dijon, Gary LaRocque. That I don't think that part. It's gonna go.
You still gotta catch it,
still throw catch it,
hit, throw
it.
And
yeah,
run. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes we get caught up with that. We forget that we have a competition,
uh-huh.
and we want to have those kids to compete to win,
yeah.
Not just just play the game and whatever resources happen. No, we wanna teach those kids to win because. Our organization is about winning.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and the reason I ask you that is, you know, we talk about analytics,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that analytics has its place.
Mm-hmm.
But when all of that's said and done, you've gone through all the analytics, you still got to catch it, you got to throw it, you got to hit, and you got to run.
Mm-hmm.
Are those still fundamental things that the organization is working on, or you work with when you're working with young people?
Yeah, we're working real hard on it. Like Yadi, who does things a little different in the big leagues. Now he's, every time he goes in that cage, he's working his fundamentals. And to do it right, yeah, he might have to make adjustment during the season so he can stay in the game. And sometimes kids trying to mimic Yadi, but he's not, those don't know the right fundamentals. So right. We've got to make sure that those kids learn the right fundamentals and then go from there. Whatever they do after 10 years playing in the game, you got to make adjustment to that. Yeah. But they've been told, and the Cardinals have put it pretty hard in teaching that fundamentals here.
Well, good. Now, you got some good young players here, and I've had the pleasure of being able to come out on the field and be your caddy. You know, I follow you, and you say something, I go, yeah, he's right, he's right. But this year, you know, this team, where does this team stand as far as right now in spring training? I know you got to go through games and all of that, but right now, where do you see these guys? Do you see them as being competitive or having a chance to win, or just exactly where are they?
I think we have a real good product in the field. I think we're going to have a good competitive team in the field. Hopefully we don't have any setback with injuries and all that other stuff. But I think we're going in the right direction. The guys are hungry to get in the field. They're going through the drills with a lot of energy. And it's been nice to see that change attitude about getting back in the winning and getting back into those playoff type, you know, and the guys are hungry about it.
Jose Oquendo back with the big club, first time in a couple of years, and you can come see him on opening weekend. Of course, the home opener is Thursday, April 5th, then we get that off day, and a great giveaway for you in home game number 2 of the series. Kick off Cardinals opening weekend, you can take home a Cardinals Hall of Fame Car Parade bobblehead presented by Ford. Saturday, April 7th, 30,000 fans, 16 and older, are going to be surprised at the gates as they find out which mystery Hall of Famer they will receive. For more info, you can visit cardinals.com/promotions. Will you get Red or maybe Lou, maybe Bob? They're all sitting in the back of those shiny red convertibles. It's a cool-looking bobblehead. Again, cardinals.com/promotions. Now, Chris Carpenter isn't a baseball Hall of Famer, although maybe someday, but he is a Cardinal Hall of Famer. Wears that red jacket proudly, and he's been around a lot the last couple of years, both in that capacity and just coming and hanging out with the current players and kind of imparting his wisdom to the guys that make up the current roster. He was our second guy through with Ozzie Smith, and that's who we let you talk to now on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Here we are again down in beautiful Jupiter, Florida, and I have the pleasure today of sitting with a guy that I've admired from a distance. And, you know, we often talk about people that you can love to have the opportunity to play behind, and this is certainly one of those guys. Folks, Chris Carpenter. Chris, welcome,
right,
man.
Thanks
for being a part
Thank
of
you.
This and coming on with us. And this is the first time that we've had a chance to sit down and talk and give our viewers a chance to find out if you who they think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, give us an idea of what you've been doing since you retired.
Just trying to be a dad. Spending some time with my family. You know, as you know, in this game, you spend a lot of time away from them, and I'm trying to give some time back. And it's been a lot of fun. I miss the game. I miss being a part of it, so I had to get away from that a little bit, too. My competitive level and edge was still there. I wanted to continue to play, but my body wasn't going to allow me to, so I had to separate that a little bit. But just staying away and was trying to spend.
How many total years did you get in?
So my first year, including minor leagues, was 1994,
okay.
And then my last year was 2013. 2013, I didn't pitch because the injury. I tried to make a comeback that year and it didn't work. But, so my last year that I pitched was 2012. So my first year in the big leagues was 97 with Toronto, and then I was over here until 2013.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you know, you've been known as this guy that has this bulldog attitude. And for this organization, when people think about bulldog, they think of Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
You know, guys with very tenacious, guys who are very, very competitive. Were you always that way?
I was. I had to learn how to control it. But from the time I was little, I mean, Little League, I was the guy that came in all angry, throwing stuff after I struck out or whatever. So I was always always super competitive, always wanted to win. I had an older brother that was 3 years older than me that if I wanted to play with them, I had to make sure that I was good enough. So I was always like that.
Always a pitcher?
No, I played, I was a catcher. I pitched, I played first, I played third, I played...
In a minute, I know you're going to tell me you had good hands, too.
No. They're okay, but of course, pitching was where I succeeded the most.
Yeah. You know, having the opportunity to play for an organization like this has always been very, very special to me. And I think that, you know, when you came over here, was it everything that you thought it was?
It was. And then some. It was different. I walked into this clubhouse and there was a different feeling. I knew when I came and visited before I signed. I got in the car. I was driving back to the airport. I called my agent. I said, I really need to go play there. Find a way to do it. It's just a different place. The history, the accountability is amazing.
Yeah. You, coming down here and working with the young players, you know, I watch the way you go about it. You enjoy that.
I do. I enjoy the game. Mm-hmm. I enjoy sharing the game. When it gets passed down and things are done the right way, like the way that you guys did it, and then you come in, you learn the history of, you know, back from Stan and Red, and then you got you, and then you got Gibby, and I mean, you got so much history and so much greatness that comes around. You feel obligated to pass it on. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from the time that I was here about just the way the game was supposed to be played. And you want to share that. I do, anyways. Yeah. It's not made for everyone, but I really do.
Now, you know, looking at this team this year, they're. Anything that stand out to you, you know, especially from a pitching standpoint, is always you never have enough arms.
Yeah.
And we've had a few days here now. Do you feel that the club is where it needs to be from an arm standpoint?
Well, I mean, you see the talent, right? You see why, especially the young guys that everybody wants. You know, you want us to go out and make trades. You want to get those big established guys. But man, we have some really good guys down there, really good arms that aren't quite there yet, but they have the potential to be there. And then you go to our major league staff, and these guys are proven guys that are going to go and compete. And you know, it's not always about name; it's about character and how they're going to take the ball every day too, and the accountability, the dependability that they have. And I think we're going to be pretty solid. We got some really good guys in the bullpen. We got some really good starting pitchers that. Are only going to continue to get better, and I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, now, you say how important is when you're looking at a pitcher and you're evaluating a pitcher, is it the character that you look for first, or is it the talent that you look for first?
Well, I mean, I think talent and character, you need both of those, and then you can then teach, because they're going to want to do it the right way, they're going to want to compete the right way, and they're going to put the work in to get better. You got to have talent. If you don't have talent, you're not going to succeed, right? But you want to pick out those guys that care. And when you pick out those guys that care, that have intention for why they're here, and that's to get better and not just ride on their talent, now you got some special guys.
Yeah. Do you have any desire to do more than you're doing, or is this enough?
Right now, this is enough. I still want to be able to be a dad at times and spend some time around with my family. And I'll be spending some time throughout the season at different clubs, AA, AAA, and the big league club, traveling around and still connecting with these young kids and trying to share.
How often do you get to do that in a season?
I'm going to spend probably two trips a month.
A month, okay.
Wherever they tell me to go. I'll make two trips a month, and then I'll get my home time too. And it's a stepping stone to make sure it's... what I want, what they want, it works well, I'm good at it, you know, make sure that all those things, because this is a new thing for me.
Uh-huh. Is there anything that, and I think I know the answer to this, but was there anything that you did not accomplish in the game that you would have liked to accomplish?
I don't think so. I was so blessed to just have the opportunity to play, first of all. I mean, coming from a small place in New Hampshire where baseball is, I mean, I was pitching in snow growing up when you first start the season, right? I was a hockey guy, but I was talented enough to get the opportunity. And then with all the injuries, just to continue to come back and be able to be successful. And I mean, we won two World Series championships, went to some All-Star games, and won the Cy Young. I really developed some great relationships in the game. It's given so much to me that I'm just proud and thankful for what I was able to do.
Well, good. Well, I want to thank you for visiting with us a little bit and giving the viewers an opportunity to see you up close and personal, and hopefully we can come back and visit later in the year.
Absolutely. Love to. Anytime.
I was standing there throughout that whole interview, and I got to tell you, you wouldn't know that those guys didn't have any interaction as players if you didn't know better. I mean, Chris Carpenter broke in 1997 in Toronto. Ozzie Smith retired after 1996 in St. Louis. No overlap, but there is just a ton of respect. I think that you can hear it there coming through in the interview. And on the field, you can see it too. Those guys roaming around and they're chatting, standing behind the cage, laughing, smiling. There's just a brotherhood about being a Cardinal, and it can sound corny and cliche to some, I think, sometimes, but it really is, and I enjoyed seeing Ozzie interact with Chris Carpenter. Manager Mike Matheny is going to be our final guest stopping by the red table outside the Cardinal clubhouse, and he and the Cardinals are going to finish the opening series of the home schedule on Sunday, April the 8th, and the giveaway that day is a lightweight quarter-zip performance pullover. 30,000 fans, 16 and older, are going to receive that, courtesy of Maryville University. And then kids 15 and under get a free ticket voucher for a future game, courtesy of Ritz. Visit cardinals.com/promotions for more information. Mike really loves having those Cardinal legends in camp. He was just lighting up, all smiles around Ozzie. Thanked him a couple of different times, which you're going to hear. Ozzie was down for a week, and I know that they were trying to get him to either stay longer or come back too. And Ozzie loves being down there. They loved having him down there. Mike really just beams about those Red Jacket guys and what they bring to camp and everything that the younger guys can soak in from a guy like Ozzie Smith, or certainly Jose Oquendo and Willie McGee, who are on the coaching staff. Jose, not a Red Jacket guy, but maybe someday, you never know. And there were other guys like Chris Carpenter, who we just heard from. Bruce Sutter has come by before. So has Bob Gibson. So a lot of knowledge, and Mike Matheny is always open to having those guys in camp. I think that's because he really loves the organization's history. He talks about it a lot, but just kind of being around the facility, I got even more of a sense for that Mike, having played here and now managed here, being a Cardinal, representing St. Louis, it's a real deal for this guy. It's about what he is. It helps make him tick, and trying to bring a World Series here is exciting to him because of what the tradition means, and maybe adding on to that. He and Ozzie talk about that tradition as well as the 2018 Cardinals, what the outlook is, and how Mike and his staff are getting things ready here as we enter this new season. Ozzie Smith and Mike Matheny back with you on the other side on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Well, here we are in beautiful Jupiter, Florida, and today we have the pleasure of sitting and visiting with the skipper, Mike Matheny. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Pleasure.
This is the first time that we've had a chance to kind of sit down and talk, and, you know, as I go around as an ex-Cardinal player and living in St. Louis, I'm always asking, well, what kind of guy is this guy or that guy? And you know, the girls always ask me, they say, well, he's so good looking. Is he as, nice as he looks? I said, yeah, you know what? I think he's nicer than he looks. So let's talk a little baseball here now that we've gotten that out of the way.
Good.
as he starts to blush here. But no, why do you do this? And what do you get out of it?
Yeah, I do this because I love it.
And I think that's kind of why that opportunity came around was, you know, after the game, you just kind of figure out, all right, now what? And am I going to use what I did and jump into somewhere in the game, or am I going to go try and be productive elsewhere? Because, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it, right? We get out of this game, and you're in your late 30s if you're lucky, and that's still young. And so I jumped into coaching. I was working with kids and found out how much of what I did as a catcher translated into coaching, and stayed involved with the Cardinals doing some instruction, which led to an interview, an unlikely interview. And then it was just an opportunity. How do you say no to that opportunity? And so I didn't even really know if I'd like this because I hadn't been managing in the minor leagues. But as soon as I did, I got to tell you, I was, as much as I love playing the game, it was just such a natural thing for me because that's the way I saw myself as a catcher, is how do I make people better? How do I use what I can do each day to try and bring people, whether it's bringing a pitching staff that particular day, the pitcher-catcher deal. It just seemed to be a very natural evolution. And then kind of get in there and get out of the way and watch people go. There are so many days I sit there at Busch and watch and, you know, got to be ready to do my part. But there are times I just sit and I'm blown away, like, I can't believe that I get to do this. Once again, like you, it's my home. St. Louis is my home. It's going to be my home regardless of how long I'm blessed enough to wear this jersey. And to be able to do what we do in that atmosphere in St. Louis is just, it's a dream job.
Yeah. Now, I know it's very challenging. It's very labor intensive. And I think people look at us and they go, well, you know, they're doing what they want to do. But they don't think about all of the hard work that goes into this. When does the process for you start before you get to spring training? You probably started, if I had to guess, it probably started after last season was over, that the process of what we're going to do and how we're going to get better starts at that point.
100%.
Would I be right?
No, next day. So the season ended on a Sunday. Monday morning we had meetings, and it was, all right, let's go over what we did, what we can improve on, where we're going from here. It was the very next day. And then there's downtime. It's not every day going into the office or down to the stadium, but Mo and I stay in contact constantly talking about free agency, but then getting our staff together. We had a lot of turnover this year, bringing in some great coaches and having to make some moves. And after that, and I explained this as you were in there for that first meeting, I can't turn this off. Right. I can't turn my mind off, and not about the baseball. I can't turn my mind off about the people and our guys. And okay, if I'm watching a show or I'm watching an interview with a basketball team and you hear Popovich or Kerr, somebody, how does that apply? What can I learn from that? Or even watching strategy sometimes with the football team, you know, how is something that they're doing apply to what we're needing to apply in spring training, whatever book I read? I just can't stop thinking about the next year and what is it that we could do a little bit better. But also, you know, making sure that I'm staying in contact with our guys about encouraging them about some of the things that they did and maybe some of the goals that they have coming up.
Yeah, let me say this here. You know, for me, and I think I can speak for all the other guys that have had a chance to wear the birds on the bat and have had some success here, the fact that you would have us come back and be a part of it, I think it's very, very important. How important is that to you, that you have guys that can come back and be a part of it?
To me, that's one of the major differentiators in this organization. I mean, you've been in other organizations, and yeah, there's typically a guy or two that will show up and maybe has some sort of responsibility, almost more as a hood ornament maybe than value and tradition. To us, you saw how we started our meeting this year. It starts with, this is where we come from, and every year I think it needs to be stated and needs to be reminded, because it does set the standard of what it is that we should be aiming for. But when you look at the fact of an organization that is so rare to have 11 World Series championships, for you not to take what has been done in the past to help propel what it should look like in the future, that's a huge mistake on your part if you don't do that. And then to realize that we have the advantage that people like yourself, people like Red and Lou and Gibby and Bruce, all these guys, and all the way across the board, and you go into some of our Cardinal Hall of Famers that want to stay tied in here. I've never been around anything like it, and to us, it's a competitive advantage in the bottom line.
Yeah, let's talk about, did you get all of the things done in the off season that you wanted to get done as far as the players you wanted, and how's the team look this year?
Yeah, to me, I love trying to have almost two mindsets, right? So when Mo and I and Mr. DeWitt and Gersh, we get into the room and we're talking about what the team needs and what we should be looking for, I love being able to have a voice in that. I love trying to figure out what kind of limitations we're going to have or what kind of flexibility we have when it comes to a budget and what are some of the ramifications for making certain moves. That stuff's very interesting to me. But then I'm able to kind of separate from that once we made the moves that we can make. At that point, and I can speak on behalf of the rest of the staff, give us a team. Give us a team. Give us a team that we can coach, and we're going to do this. Yeah. And at that point, it's not always kind of banging on, all right, we need this. We've got a whole lot of capable players in there, and every year we have some guys that are going to step in and surprise people. But you look at what we were able to do and kind of some of the checklist things that we were hoping. We were hoping for that middle of the bat, in the middle of the order bat, right? Mm-hmm. That guy that can come in and you saw us really willing, and I was really impressed with what Mr. DeWitt and our ownership group was willing to do to go right to the doorstep with a contract like Stanton's. That should tell our fan base what kind of commitment that we have. It didn't work, and to us, couldn't be any happier with what we ended up with Marcell Ozuna, and you start adding in some of these other bullpen pieces, you know, maybe not the guys that are out there asking for the most money, but some guys with some really strong history and ability and potential to shore up the things that we need in our bullpen, and bringing in a guy like a Miles Michaelis, who has the opportunity to step in into our starting rotation, knowing how many good young arms we have coming up. I love the position that the organization's in right now with what we have and where we're going.
And that too, you know, you brought in a new pitching coach as well, you know, which I think, you know, when you go out and you look for a pitcher, what are you looking for?
Yeah, I think it's a guy who has a track record, a guy who has a process, who has a plan, a guy who has had some pitchers who've been there. I think it's really important, as I talk about, and I have many times, about some of our pitchers, who there's another level. And you realize the kind of pitching staff that Mike Maddox had over in Washington, those are some high-level guys who've had that individual achievement, who've had some collective success. There are things that he can take from them and the way they went about their work to maybe challenge some of our younger pitchers who have had a lot of success, but there's another level there. And so, man, just look at our staff. When you bring in Willie, when you bring back an Oquendo, and then you bring in a Maddox with some of the other guys and the teaching capability, but just kind of their mindset of how much they want to do the right thing the right way, and it's all about these guys. You know, that's a huge edge for us.
So you're happy going into where we are right now? You know, you go through spring training, people always ask me, they say, well, how good are you guys going to be? I don't think we know that, not at this point anyway, because you have to go through situations and put guys in certain situations before you can find out exactly what they're made of.
Yeah, and we're still developing that team right now. We still have 65 individuals in there, and we're trying to figure out what's it going to look like as a club. And, you know, we talk so much about the stuff that goes on inside of the person and what motivates them and how they're driven. Is it driven about you, or is it driven about our club? Does that idea of trying to figure out how it looks like to be a Cardinal, does that play in? And are you in? Are you buying into that we should go about this a little bit different? All that's yet to be seen because, yeah, there's talent, but there's talent all the way across this league. Mm-hmm. Every team you go to, even through our minor league, sometimes talent, pure talent's better in the minor leagues than some of the big league teams, but there's little things that separate them, and those little things are what we're trying to define here and refine here, and those are the things I believe that'll define what kind of team we come together as.
And I know managing, like everything else, is a learning process. And as you've gone through this with this generation, how much different is it managing now than it was, say, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be changing. And you and I sat down, it was a great conversation yesterday. We had a room full of coaches from all different levels and talking about, you know, how things have changed. And not that we ever want to be those guys and sit back and say, no, it's different now. Okay, it is, so what do we got to do? And what are the things that we can't budge on? And what are the things that have to be constants? And the work, the appreciation, the respect, kind of the idea that it's this group above whatever I got to do myself, but I'm going to do what I need to do my part for the rest of the group. That sort of stuff, I think those are going to have to be constants every single season. And once again, that's set by what's been done in our history. But you know, there's a different way to go about the work now, right? I mean, that's there's right. so much technology that guys are spending their effort on. There's so much opportunity inside, behind the scenes, in the cages, in the training room, in the weight room that wasn't necessarily a part of our routine. It's right. different. So, but is that different still good? And the answer is yes. So it's balancing what's new with what we've done in the past, but still not getting completely away from the things that we know have to be there.
That's right, and those things being, and let me say this, as being a part of the spring training here, you know, I've got to say that the way that we've gone about it to this point has been wonderful. The guys have been great. The routines and stuff that we go through, the guys are being very, very efficient. They're working hard, and they're giving it. And this season, going into this season, it's not because guys aren't prepared or they haven't been given the right tools and things that they need, because the staff has done a wonderful job. It's been a lot of fun being down here. I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with us.
And thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. We come back and visit you late in the year.
Can't wait.
There you go. We took you camping down to spring training in Jupiter, Florida. Great cross-section. Think about it here. Those four guys, Carpenter, Matheny, Ozzie Smith, and Jose Oquendo, I mean, they're kind of a cross-section of the last 40 years in Cardinal baseball. Guys who have played, coached, managed, what have you. But a great look at the recent history of the organization, and four guys who all, different roles, different depths, different amounts, but all, trust me, are shaping this current roster through the way that they are imparting wisdom onto the guys that will take the field in 2018. Appreciate all four of them, Ozzie, for conducting the interviews, and the other three gentlemen for joining us. Hey, we're here every Tuesday now. This is our debut episode in 2018. Every single Tuesday, the episode will come out. If you're subscribed, it downloads automatically to your phone. You don't even have to worry about it. To do that, you can visit cardinals.com/podcast or just search Cardinals Insider in iTunes. We've got our very own dedicated feed now. You'll see our logo. Nice and easy. Stream it, rate it, listen to it, subscribe it, download it. Any of those things, every little bit helps. And if you're a fan of the show, A, we appreciate it. But B, we also really appreciate anything you do rating-wise for us. It helps us just boost the visibility and let people know that we're here talking Cardinals baseball throughout the summer. You can email me if there's somebody you'd like to hear on the program. Let me know. podcast@cardinals.com. I've heard from some of you over the winter. I would love to hear from more of you. Just what would you like to hear on the show as we go forward throughout 2018? Next week, well, it's been 20 years since this happened. Can you believe it? 20 whole years since the great home run chase of 1998. There was some audio last year from Cardinal Hall of Fame weekend, Dan McLaughlin and Mark McGwire, and I never got to bring it to you, and I think that you need to hear it, because you want to talk about a guy that is just, I mean, humbled to the point of tears even sometimes at the love that Cardinal Nation shows him. That guy is Mark McGwire. It really means something to him to be across the street in the Cardinal Hall of Fame. He and Dan McLaughlin talk about that next week. And of course, like I said earlier, Danny will be coming to us for about 45 minutes, just him and myself talking baseball, talking broadcasting, and talking being a St. Louis kid who ended up in the St. Louis Cardinals booth. That is Dan McLaughlin. He's down the road a couple of weeks, but you won't want to miss that one. Next week, though, he's with Mark McGwire. Again, that's going to be Tuesday, April 3rd, episode 2 of the program. Until then, for Mike Matheny, Ozzie Smith, Chris Carpenter, and Jose Oquendo, my name's Brett McMillan. We'll talk to you next time on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.